Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Life offers us choices. When shopping for a luxury SUV, you should have the same benefit. The 2025 Lincoln Corsair SUV offers a traditional gas powertrain and the plug-in hybrid grand touring model. The spirit of choice continues with several available features to leave you reinvigorated, including perfect position massaging front seats, the jet appearance package, panoramic vista roof, and more. With an impressive list of both standard and available features, the right choice becomes clear. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary.
Schneider Electric presents Keeping the Lights On, a Graybar podcast. Schneider Electric is leading the digital transformation of energy management and automation in homes, buildings, data centers, infrastructure, and industries. Keeping the Lights On is the podcast where we connect with the owners and pros who design, build, and maintain our electrical and communications world to explore the best ways forward. Tune in on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
The Score! This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on. Number 1.
Who was the MVP of the Cubs series win over the White Sox?
I'll give you a hint. He plays third base. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Matt Shaw. Matt Shaw having a little bit of a run right now. I mentioned the fact that he had the 9-game hitting streak. He's a guy who has gotten it done since the All-Star break in a way that makes people say, do we really need another third baseman? I'll say this. His glove, his defense, superior to that of Eugenio Suarez. I'm very confident in that. So you tell me. But Matt Shaw has been a guy who apparently needed the break. He hit the reset button, much like if Matt Spiegel was playing me in Tecmo Super Bowl, he'd be down by a lot, having a bad time, and he'd kick that reset button, hoping to start a new game. But the difference is, for Matt Spiegel, the nightmare would continue. It would just be a fresh nightmare. For Matt Shaw, he's having a much better dream now because he's hitting. And he's got his WAR up to 1.7 on the season. And in the series against the White Sox, he looked great. Came in off the bench, got it done. And then in the other two games, got it done. He's got more RBI in the series than the three guys that you normally see at the top of the order combined. Yeah, I said that right. Kyle Tucker, Michael Bush, Seiya Suzuki. He's been more productive than all three of them of late. Think about that. Matt Shaw for president.
Actually, like Matt Shaw, and I'll give you mine here in a second. He's had a very, very typical rookie season, right? I mean, he came up, and he was bad, sent him down, came up right away after they brought him up. He was really good. Then he went bad for a while. Now he's good. This is a player that you can't depend on this year. That's why it would be good if Eugenio Suarez came. Like, he's probably going to go cold again. I like him, though, for the future. Like, I think that that's something that I would say about him. My MVP for this weekend, I was struggling a little bit with it because there's so many decent candidates for the Cubs. I'm going to go with Nico Horner just because of the badass baller that he was in yesterday's game alone. And the two-out RBI hit in the sixth inning, the infield fly rule presence of mind in the third inning, when, by the way, it was still 2-1 Cubs. Nico Horner lets the ball drop with runners on first and second. Infield fly rule! ends up throwing out Lenin Sosa at third base, who ran sort of instinctively, maybe involuntarily.
Dumb baseball by the Sox.
That was Jim DeShays. That was heavy yesterday. You don't see the DeShays or hear the DeShays using the word dumb very often. But that's what it felt like. I gave him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt on that just because it just goes against instincts as a baseball player when you see a ball in play to not run. But it was a dumb play. But I'm going to give it to Nico Hoerner just because of the way he plays the game of baseball, and it was really symbolic or quintessential Nico Hoerner yesterday.
I like Nico Hoerner.
I didn't say you didn't.
No, I'm saying I like that as an answer.
Oh, okay.
Is what I'm saying. I can see where you're coming from on
okay.
that.
Okay, I got you.
Number two.
All right, you guys kind of talked about Matt Shaw just a moment ago, but this is such a big deal. We're going to go ahead and double down on this angle and this question here for our second question on Five on It with Marshall Harris and Mark Grody in for Layla today. Has Matt Shaw hit well enough since the All-Star break that you trust him to hold down that position without an augmentation via trade?
Okay, so listen carefully, because I told Grody about this already, I want everybody to understand this. Because, wait, repeat the question one more time, because I want to make sure people understand the question.
Yes, the question is, has Matt Shaw hit well enough since the All-Star break that you trust him to hold down that position without an augmentation via trade?
Technically, I guess the answer is no, but it's still a little bit yes. Here's why. Go get a Eugenio Suarez. I just don't know that Suarez is going to be spending the majority of his time at third base. What about Eugenio Suarez as a DH? What about the idea that the people you currently have playing DH mix a little bit more with the outfield and people get a little bit more rest down the stretch? Whether that's Ian Happ, the occasional day off for Pete Crow Armstrong, Kyle Tucker, as his struggles continue. And you just work it in where Matt Shaw might be playing third base because he's your best defensive third baseman, I think, even with Eugenio Suarez on the roster. And so now Suarez and Shaw in a lineup, I don't know, against a lefty, that might be a different way to look at this. And so in games in which you have maybe Ian Happ take a seat, I'm not saying bench Ian Happ. I don't want people to misconstrue this. I'm just saying he might not play as much against the left-handed elite starting pitching. I like a lineup, or the idea anyway, with the current hitting Matt Shaw and Eugenio Suarez both in the lineup at the same time. That's Craig Counsell's job, is to figure that out. Mm-hmm. I don't think Craig Counsell would complain if they add Eugenio Suarez and he's got a hat Matt Shaw to boot. He'd figure it out. And that's my stance on that.
I love that. It's the whole Eugenio Suarez effect. It goes beyond him hitting bombs, because that's the number one job, is Eugenio Suarez would come here to hit the baseball.
And not hit bombs against the Cubs.
Yes, as everybody knows, I have a healthy fear of Eugenio Suarez. That goes back to my days doing pre and post for the Cubs, seeing Suarez hit home run after home run against the Chicago Cubs. I think people know where I stand. I pretty much just said in the last answer, yes, I would support Eugenio Suarez being here, because you know exactly what he is. It ain't time. Like, if you have a chance to fill a spot that's still a bit of a mystery and upgrade it for now, then I think that you absolutely do it. And yes, you continue to look. Like, I do love the fact that I could look at Matt Shaw and say, yeah, he might be the third baseman of the future for the Chicago Cubs. It's been that bumpy intermittent season that he's had, but I've seen enough to be like, yeah, I'm interested. But in a year in which you're supposed to win, you know, feelings are hurt. And I think that, yes, absolutely, you bring in Suarez and you have an effect that is excellent.
Also, I don't think Matt Shaw's feelings would be hurt. I think Matt Shaw knows exactly what it is and what it ain't and what time it is and what time it ain't.
Well, I think he would think it sucks, especially if it continues to hit well. I think he would probably, he's a competitor, so I think he'd understand it. And I don't
right.
think he would not break bad, obviously, because you can't. But I think, of course, he would probably be a little bit like, it feels like, I don't know this because I've never been in this version of the Cubs locker room. It seems like he's a pretty popular guy, too. Just the way other players react to him, and he's always got a smile on his face.
Absolutely.
So that's a little bit of a disruption, is not the right word, because it's from all accounts, Suarez is a super good guy. But he is a very popular player.
So you talked about if we get Suarez, like someone's got to play left field, because to me, Ian Happ has not been hitting well at all. If you want to make that lineup work where you have Shaw playing and you have Suarez playing, in the last 28 days, Ian Happ has had 83 plate appearances. He's batting 159. OBP 301. He has more walks than hits. He just hasn't been good at the plate. Like, you can't trust him. I'd rather have him coming off the bench as a switch hitter than what we have going on right now.
Do I have to take my C-plus that I gave him a month ago and get that and take that all the way down to a C? No, actually, I think I did give him a C.
I think what – oh, yeah, you definitely gave him a C, and I was not on board with that. But also, this comes way from Ryan Porth.
Porth!
Michael Bush, Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki, since the All-Star break, combined – 144 batting average in 90 at-bats, 27 strikeouts to just 14 walks, 3 home runs, 7 RBI, 0 doubles or triples. That's since the All-Star break. Now, they're 5-4 in large part because Matt Shaw has out-homered that trio and out-driven in runs of that trio. He's been more productive overall as far as power and getting the job done, driving runs in. So, look, I think everybody could use a little bit of a breather.
Yeah, man, Kyle Tucker yesterday, I don't remember the exact scenario, early in the game, probably
his
first at-bat. But yeah, but there was runners on first and second. The Cubs had already failed. I don't remember who was Hap. I guess it was PCA. But anyway, Tucker comes up. I'm like, this is the spot, man. You got it. You got to shut everybody up because everybody's worried about it. Yeah, and then he doesn't come through with the runners on first and second. But yeah, he doubled later. I'm not worried about Kyle Tucker, but it is a fair point to bring up that he has struggled, no doubt.
Number 3.
CeCe Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, Billy Wagner, Dick Allen, and Dave Parker were inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame on Sunday. Who will be the next Chicago baseball player to make it to Cooperstown?
It's a great question, right? It's a difficult question.
Yeah.
Because you start thinking about, okay, who deserves the nod? Is there anyone currently? First thing I did was flash back to the Cubs World Series team.
Sure.
And I think I have a crazy one. But see, the problem is, do they have to go in as a Cub, as a White Sox, or do they just have to be part of the story?
Yeah. I think part of the story. Can I guess who you're thinking?
Go ahead.
Or do you like to reveal?
No, go ahead, guess.
I want to guess that you're thinking of Schwarber.
It's not Schwarber. It's not Schwarber.
Okay.
I'm thinking Chapman.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's deep. You know what? Okay. I feel like it's got to be more of a core Cub, but you asked.
That's why I said.
You asked.
You can't tell the story of the Cubs winning the World Series.
No, you're right.
Without Aroldis Chapman.
He was a Cub. He was a prominent Cub.
I also think Schwarber's got a good chance. If he just does what he's been doing the last 3 years for 4 or 5 more years,
yeah,
the argument will be made for Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah. I feel like there's a... And maybe this is just because of the 2005 White Sox thing.
Okay.
That Burley has been back in our sort of vision.
The Burley thing has always been interesting to me because cases can be made, especially because of the era that he pitched in.
I don't like it. I don't like Burley for Hall of Fame, but with some of the guys that we've seen get in, especially White Sox players,
Harold Baines. Okay,
that's the easy pickings. You're right. But there have been guys, I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but there's guys who are questionable, and he's one of those guys that because he played in the steroids era, that does allow...
Are you saying Sammy Sosa?
Oh, I'm just saying, sure, Sammy Sosa. I'm saying anybody, but no, I wasn't saying Sammy Sosa next for the...
Okay.
But that's an interesting name.
That was the name I was going to bring up.
Man. Well... I mean, if we start to see those guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens...
That ain't happening anytime soon.
Okay, so those guys would get in before Sosa. So I'm going to go no on Sosa, at least until we're a lot older in life. I don't know. I like the
Schwarber call, though.
You know, the Schwarber call's interesting. And, like, it's tough. Like, are there any 2016 Cubs that would go into the Hall of Fame? And guess what? We were calling for Chris Bryant to go in the first few years of his career because it was astounding what he was doing. But
his
career
fell off a cliff. I need a 10-year window.
Yeah, you're right. It's fallen off the cliff enough to where he's not.
Listen, Dick Allen, my whole argument for Dick Allen, who finally got in, unfortunately, after his passing.
Yeah.
But my whole argument for Dick Allen is, in baseball, give me a 10-year window and tell me that you are elite for 10 years.
Yeah.
Don't punish a guy for playing for more than 10 years. If you were just elite for 10 years, and he was elite for a 10-year period, you belong in the Hall of Fame.
You know who?
That's a decade.
You know who would go in before Mark Burley would go in?
Who's that?
John Lester.
Yeah, that's the text line. The Twitch line is going nuts about John Lester.
Oh, we got a lot of Lester love. Okay,
I like Lester.
Okay.
I like Lester.
And Lester, like, he won two World Series with Boston, one with the Cubs. Like, if we're doing the hats thing, that would be very interesting. He would be Boston. I think he's more Boston than Cubs.
I don't think there's a guy that is straight up Cubs or straight up White Sox that you can point to and be like, exists that they're definitely going in.
But I think Lester's got a really good chance.
Even Schwarber, if he stays with the Phillies for 3, 4, 5 more years and would end up with, 450 home runs he would be a Philly at that point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I think, honestly, like, Schwarber, while he's got love for the Cubs because he won a World Series there, and that's the team that drafted him, I mean, they let this guy go. They non-tendered. That's a slap in the face is what that was. So I think Schwarber would honestly be very happy to go in as a Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number four.
With cornerback Jalen Johnson currently out due to injury, who is currently the best player on the Bears' defense?
Is it bad if I just say Kyler Gordon and just let it ride?
Just be that? No, that's not bad at all.
Like,
fascinating player. I put him more in the category of fascinating because I'm still not sure about the ceiling with Kyler Gordon. Like,
that's why I said it.
Yeah. Even after he's on his second contract now, and I still think that there's more.
And I go back to this at the introductory press conference when you talk about Allen mentioning guys by name. Whose name did he mention? Kyler Gordon. And I think if your defensive coordinator on day one is mentioning your name, they have plans and designs for you. So I think this is a year in which he could be seriously showcased. Otherwise, my honorable mentions for this were... Well, actually, I'll let you go first.
Yeah,
and tell
yeah.
You.
I'm gonna go with TJ Edwards.
Okay. That was one of my honorable mentions.
Yeah, TJ Edwards is the guy. Like, I want to say, like, Montez Sweat. That's a different question, though. He should be your best defensive player. He's paid like it. He flashed like it 2 years ago, but last year was just a bad year for Montez Sweat. And TJ Edwards has been nothing but steady Eddie and a playmaker and a smart player where he's supposed to be. So I am going to go TJ Edwards. Who else you got?
And my other honorable mention, depending on how things go this year, I think it'll be a great indicator of how much he was actually missed as opposed to we know he was missed, Andrew Billings. Because he was missed, clearly.
Yeah.
But how much was he missed? We won't know it, I think, until this season and seeing what that defensive line looks like around him.
Well, then you got to throw Jaquan Brisker into that argument as well, because he was gone.
Brisker's got to play
a ton of time. But when he's in there, I mean, you have to say that there was, I don't know if it's correlation or causal, but definitely the defense started to slide when Billings and Brisker were out. By the way, really quick, if I could cheat back to the last question, somebody brought up a great name for the next Chicago Hall of Famer.
What you got?
Chris Sale. Chris damn Sale. Another guy who's split between the White Sox and Red Sox.
But he ain't going in as a White Sox.
No. But he's a first ballot of first balloters, of course.
Number five.
Fifth question, last question here in Five on It with Raheemy and Harris. How do you feel about the Bulls and Billy Donovan agreeing to a contract extension? And has your position changed about the idea of a prospective Josh Giddey contract extension?
We got to work on your emphasis on the wrong words in a question. But Billy
what
Donovan,
do you mean?
It's very ho-hummy. It's very ho-hum, like business as usual, standard operating procedure, the SOP of it all. Because Billy Donovan is a good coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He is going to be the guy that leads this team. He's out here he's over-managing and over-performing and outperforming. And he's doing a lot. He's doing the most. Even when he needs to take his tail down and just let his team be bad so they can get high draft picks. That's not how Billy Donovan operates. Now we'll find out if he can step up to the next challenge, which is developing a superstar from within as opposed to, I don't know, acquiring draft capital and making a trade when the time presents itself, the opportunity presents itself to get a superstar. You said you could do it in-house. Grow it in the lab like it's freaking Jurassic Park.
Just
life will find a way. We're about to find out if it finds a way under Billy Donovan. Meanwhile, Josh Giddey, hey, man. I don't know if you saw what Cam Thomas has been up to, talking about 4 years for $120 million as a restricted free agent with the Nets, they said, oh, that's cool. How about you just sign this mid-level exception offer? How about we'll give you a qualifying offer? How about nobody else wants to sign you? Nobody else has the room to sign you in the second apron world. Josh Giddey should be learning that same lesson soon enough. And so for his sake, I hope he does not sign the qualifying offer. I hope that they just say, hey, Josh, take this deal for $20 million a year. Be happy with it.
Okay. Okay. As for Billy Donovan, he's had one winning season with the Chicago Bulls. He's had one playoff appearance, and that was a first-round elimination. So, and you look at the record, and there are reasons for it. So, I don't know how crazy I am about Billy Donovan, the head coach, but the Bulls probably couldn't do better. I think about what the Knicks just went through in trying to get a head coach. I think that there is some part of the Bulls that is probably saying, and I might even be agreeing, that this, for now, this is as good as it gets. For as far as the Josh Giddey stuff is concerned, Tree, you got 30 seconds, buddy. I am ceding my time to you on Josh Giddey because you're losing your mind over there.
Well, I think Josh Giddey is a good basketball player. I think he's a great basketball player. I understand the business of basketball, though. If I was the Bulls, I'd be doing exactly what they're doing right now, playing hardball. But if I was like in charge of things, I would have paid him by now because I think he deserves to be here for a long time and not piss him off. But
how much would you have paid him?
If I had the pocketbooks open, I'd probably give him $25 million a year. So I'd probably give him 3 years, $75 million.
I don't think he would take that.
But if I'm the Bulls are doing the right thing by playing hardball.
Bob Tree.
Giddey Talk on
that,
the score.
That will do it for Giddey Talk and Five on it. When okay. we come back, we'll go back to baseball. Vinny Rotino, the Brewers analyst for FanDuel Sports Network, will help us get set up for this crucial three-game set between the two teams, the Cubs and Brewers, with the best records in the National League. You are listening to Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Life offers us choices. When shopping for a luxury SUV, you should have the same benefit. The 2025 Lincoln Corsair SUV offers a traditional gas powertrain and the plug-in hybrid Grand Touring model. The spirit of choice continues with several available features to leave you reinvigorated, including perfect position massaging front seats, the jet appearance package, panoramic vista roof, and more. With an impressive list of both standard and available features, the right choice becomes clear. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary.
Schneider Electric presents Keeping the Lights On, a Graybar podcast. Schneider Electric is leading the digital transformation of energy management and automation in homes, buildings, data centers, infrastructure, and industries. Keeping the Lights On is the podcast where we connect with the owners and pros who design, build, and maintain our electrical and communications world to explore the best ways forward. Tune in on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Perkins, center field. That'll get it done. Scored as a hit. Clutch.
Every time I look at a Milwaukee Brewers box score, there he is, Andrew Vaughn. 2-for-4 yesterday, 2-for-4 the day before that, 1-for-2 the day before that in limited action. But you know what? The Brewers out here avoiding sweeps at the hands of the red-hot Marlins, who 20 of their last 28 have been wins. Talking about tonight's big game, a big matchup, Jacob Mizorowski on the mound for the Brewers, and the father who stepped up, Matthew Boyd, on the mound for the Cubs. It's going down indoors, thankfully, because it does not look good outside up in Milwaukee. And joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline is Vinny Rotino. He is the Brewers analyst for FanDuel Sports Network. You can find him on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at Vinny Rotino. Download the Circa app today. Vinny, great to have you on, as always, here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody in for Layla on the score. What is going on in Milwaukee, and can anybody slow down the Brewers from your vantage point?
I mean, it's a tough task for whoever's playing the Milwaukee Brewers right now. Look, I don't think anyone was playing hotter baseball than the Miami Marlins when they came into town. That is a tough, formidable group, and they're going to be good here coming, you know, in 2026 and moving forward. And let's see what they do at the trade deadline, because shoot, they might make some waves here, just like the Detroit Tigers did last year, kind of seemingly out of it. But the Brewers, look, they salvaged that series, and that was a huge momentum swing for the crew, understanding that the Cubs are coming into town. They have been circling these three games on the calendar for quite some time. I know the Brewers fans are going to come out in droves to try and drown out the Cubs fans, because I know everyone certainly does feel like it is Wrigley North, but the Brewers fans do not really like that. And let's see if there's some fireworks here tonight at American Family Field.
I mean, it couldn't even be more perfect, with both teams being 62-43, best records in the National League. It's going down. We don't even have to hype this game. Oh, and then just to add to that, it's Matthew Boyd against Jacob Mizorowski tonight. What do you think about that pitching matchup? Your early thoughts on Mizorowski? And I'd like to hear what you have to say about Matthew Boyd as well.
Yeah, sure. You know, the Miz, we call him.
The Miz, right. The Miz. Yeah.
Nobody beats the Miz.
Yeah.
Not the wrestler, but the Miz is quite the dynamic starter. I scouted for 4 years after I got done playing, played for 14 years. Then I was a scout for the Texas Rangers for 4 on the pro side. I was a pro scout. And look, I don't think I've ever seen a guy as a starter have this kind of stuff. I mean, it's 102, 103 mile per hour fastball.
Wow.
It is a wipeout curveball, and then it's a slider at like 94 to 96. It looks a little bit like a cutter, but he can shape it. He can add a little bit of break to it horizontally to make it a swing and miss type of a slider. And then he's got a changeup that's still developing that is equally disgusting at 94 miles per hour. So, look, this is a kid who they're going to put the reins on him a little bit. They have the brakes on him a little bit, just in terms of pitch count and innings limit. He only threw 97 innings last year in AAA, and so the rule of thumb is throw about 25% more as you build up as a professional.
Yeah,
you know, as a starter. So let's see how deep he goes in tonight's ball game, because it's a tough task going up against Matthew Boyd, one of the best starters in all of baseball this year. What is he, third in ERA? He's looking like this is obviously a career year for him. What a savvy sign by the Cubs front office, Jed Hoyer and company. And obviously, Craig Counts has got him pitching really well. Also, you know, Counts is one of the best with pitching staffs, and you guys are witnessing that firsthand. You know, obviously with the Cubs bullpen as well. So, this is going to be not the marquee matchup of the season, I wouldn't say, because we saw that earlier in the year when Jacob Mizorowski went up against Paul Skeens in midweek, and it was a sellout at American Family Field on a Wednesday at 1 o'clock. That just doesn't happen up there. But yeah, this could be one of those marquee matchups of the season. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this game.
Oh man, is Skeens the comp, by the way, for him? Because I was thinking in my head, as you're going through the pitch selection, the MPH, and if it's not, who is the guy that you guys are talking about? He reminds me of so-and-so.
So for me, Zach Wheeler. So just because of the way that he gets down the mound, it is elite extension. It's all the way down to over 7.5 feet of extension, meaning he's releasing the ball a little bit closer to home plate, But then it's also the release height. So people don't really talk about release height when they talk about deception. And Matthew Boyd's in the same category where it's a lower release height. It's about 5.3 feet, meaning he's releasing it lower than most pitchers. And so the angle as it comes into home plate is flatter, harder to get on top of. And you guys are seeing that, witnessing that with Matthew Boyd as well. So it's hard to get on top of. It's deceptive. Guys can't pick it up. And then, oh, by the way, it's 103. So for me, that's similar to what Zach Wheeler does.
Okay.
Yes, Paul Skenes, just in terms of the sheer velocity and sheer stuff, Skenes a little bit better just with touch and feel, getting the ball to the spots. Miz is just, he's still kind of, he's learning how to, you know, walk before he runs and sprints, but it's pretty impressive what he's been able to do as quote-unquote walking in his major league first couple of months here in the major leagues with some of the numbers he's putting up. So, yeah, you guys are in for a treat. This is going to be just fun to watch this kid pitch, and it's fun to see his emotion on the mound as well.
Vinny Rotino, the Brewers analyst for FanDuel Sports Network, Wisconsin, joining us here on Raheem and Harris. Mark Grody in for Layla as we talk about this big matchup tonight. The Cubs, the Brewers, tied for the best record in the National League. Vinny, I don't know if you heard it, so we're going to play it for you and our listeners. This is what the general manager of the Brewers, Matt Arnold, had to say about that game that got rained out, that'll be made up later as part of a five-game series, when Jacob Mizorowski was supposedly going to take the mound at Wrigley Field.
Sounded like there were some business side conflicts with the Cubs on their end, and some city ordinance issues that came up as well. So I think potentially the conflict might have been Jacob Mizorowski, to be honest. But
sounds spicy. That courtesy of WTMJ. Do you think there could be extra little to this, which, and it doesn't need an extra anything because it's Cubs Brewers.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? Good, right? The sport needs a little drama. It needs a little bit of this. And I think that, look, Jacob Mizorowski, if the Cubs are going to try and the Cubs fan base is going to try and, you know, hey, we're going to go ahead and show Matt Arnold that it wasn't Jacob Mizorowski, and we're going to get to him. You know, that is a tough task, especially if he's going to be in the zone. So I think Jacob Mizorowski is going to be up for the task as well, because he has dominated so far in his big league career with a lot of pressure on him. Look, this is the biggest and most anticipated starting pitcher arrival in the Brewers franchise history, dating back to Ben Sheets. So that we're talking 2001. So he's handled all of the pressure that goes alongside with that. He's handled all of the fanfare. He's just done a phenomenal job. That matchup with Skenes, like I said, he did not look like he was a deer in headlights overmatch. So if the Cubs faithful is kind of expecting Jacob Mizorowski to kind of crumble under the pressure, he's not. He rises to the occasion, and this is shaping up and kind of building up, especially with those Matt Arnold comments, to being, again, one of the marquee pitching matchups of the season. Really looking forward to it.
Vinny, I got two words for you. I need you to tell me, is this going to be the difference in the division? Eugenio Suarez, because there's been a lot of talk that the Brewers are just as interested in him as the Cubs. How do you see this shaking out, and the Brewers have a realistic chance of acquiring him?
I think this is what I think. I think Jed Hoyer, and you guys know, is, you know, he's kind of on the hot seat, right? So if, you know, Jed Hoyer and the Cubs and Council and the Cubs, Council's not going anywhere. They don't make a splash deep into October. You know, you never know what's going to happen, right? So I think Jed Hoyer is going to probably match the price tag and then some to whoever is the bidder, whoever is the highest bidder. I think that is going to be how it plays out. I think there's a very high likelihood that's how it plays out. Now, what the Diamondbacks want for him, and if the prospect package coming back from whatever team is more enticing from the Brewers side, let's say, then I think that's going to get it done, obviously. But I actually don't think the Brewers are going to pay the price tag that, again, I think the Cubs are going to pay, just because the Brewers have something special going on in the clubhouse. They're getting it done with a lot of names that really no one's ever heard of. You know, Caleb Durbin at third base, an Illinois native, right? And he's getting it done, and he's doing the job. Would they like to have the home run power from Suarez? Of course. But I just think what they have going on in the clubhouse is special, and I don't see this run from the Brewers slowing down anytime soon. Or the Cubs. I mean, these are the two of the best teams in all of baseball, and I love how this is going to play out down the stretch. And, you know, if they get Suarez, that's not going to hinder and deter the Brewers from playing their best baseball, and because it's going to get real exciting here in September and October.
Yeah, and I agree that the Brewers probably do have something special going on in their clubhouse. So why mess things up and pay a higher price for Suarez than the Cubs? And the theory of, I kind of brought this up earlier, and you could tell me if I'm right or wrong. I mean, the Brewers, they are franchised because of the market size and all of that, that they depend on their young players and their minor league system probably more than the Cubs, as silly as that sounds, because every team depends on their minor leaguers.
Well, that's a great point. Think about this. Why have the Brewers been successful in developing this young talent at the big league level? Why? One, because it's easy to play in Milwaukee. Not so easy to go 0-25 in Chicago and then hear about it on the Score or any other radio station or from the reporters or from the media or from the fan base. More difficult to play. You have to produce. So the Brewers, it's easier to play here. You're going to, the fans understand there's going to be long leashes with these guys in order to develop. Because again, yes, they know, we know that the Brewers need these guys to develop. The other thing is, if you acquire a Ryan McMahon, I know he was just acquired by the Yankees, and he goes one for his next 30, that's kind of a hole in your lineup as he gets acclimated. The Brewers don't do that, right? So they'll just throw six guys against the wall and see what sticks. And if you go one for 30, they'll just put the next guy in there or send you down until you're ready. So that's kind of the formula and the way that the Brewers have been successful with these quote-unquote no-name guys as it takes them a year or two to develop in the big leagues. And so I actually think that that's an advantage by the Milwaukee Brewers, the fact that they don't spend a lot of money and acquire these big-name free agents who you have to play. And if you play them and they're a hole in your lineup, that's what the Brewers have going for them right now. They don't have any holes in their lineup. Every single guy is producing 1-9, and it's very difficult to get through this order. Let's see what Matthew Boyd has for him tonight. But it's a very difficult lineup to get through because they don't chase outside the zone, they don't strike out, and they're extremely fast to a man, 1-9. So it's going to be a really exciting series, and let's see how the Cubs attack them.
All right, thanks so much, Vinny Rutino, joining us for the Brewers analyst for FanDuel Sports Network. Let's see how it all shakes out, Vinny. We appreciate you stopping by here on Raheem and Harris.
No doubt. I just want to say I was down in Lake Point for the prep baseball future games. Sean Duncan, unbelievable job. He's an Illinois native creating that company. Steve Nielsen, Stevie Ball Game, he ran the whole thing. There's a couple of guys in Illinois that are going to be big leaguers. Caden Wisniewski and Jackson Cole. These kids are going to be big leaguers, and those guys are Illinois natives, so watch out for those guys.
Stevie Ball Game. I love it, man. Good stuff.
Thanks so much,
Jackson
Vinny.
Jackson Tucker, I should say. Yeah, no problem.
No, we got you. Okay, that was Vinny Rutino joining us. It's going to be a great series. At least it's shaping up that way. The Score, by the way, once again teaming up with the Cubs and Stand Up to Cancer for the 24-hour Cubs for Cure Radiothon. It all starts at 10 a.m. this Thursday, July 31st, right here on 670 The Score. Danny Parkins,
I mean,
back in the building, back in this studio. He will host the Radiothon, which will feature inspiring stories and many donation incentives. 100% of the proceeds will benefit Brain Up for Cancer research. When we come back, audio hot and fresh out of House Hall is in. We will hear from the Bears' new center, Drew Dahlman, and we will react. That's Mark Grody, Marshall Harris here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles, the hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility? Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Life offers us choices. When shopping for a luxury SUV, you should have the same benefit. The 2025 Lincoln Corsair SUV offers a traditional gas powertrain and the plug-in hybrid grand touring model. The spirit of choice continues with several available features to leave you reinvigorated, including perfect position massaging front seats, the jet appearance package, panoramic vista roof, and more. With an impressive list of both standard and available features, the right choice becomes clear. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary.
Schneider Electric presents Keeping the Lights On, a Graybar podcast. Schneider Electric is leading the digital transformation of energy management and automation in homes, buildings, data centers, infrastructure, and industries. Listen to my conversation with Anise Cavanaugh, author and consultant, as we discuss how you and your team can intentionally bring positive energy back into your workplace. Tune in on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Back here on Rahimi and Harris, Layla, she's got the day off. In fact, she'll be out until Wednesday when she will be back. Mark Brody in her stead, along with me, Marshall Harris, hanging out with you on what has turned into a very rainy Monday.
Thank you.
A rainy Monday.
And it's coming down, buddy.
Brody's worried about his walk home?
No, actually, honestly, and I'm not just joking here, I would prefer to walk home in the rain than just the humidity I walked in here in today. It was swampy.
Okay, hopefully this rain brings in some cooler weather.
Right.
I'm with you on that. Take the humidity out of it.
What are you talking about?
The Bears?
You'd rather walk in rain?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, the rain sucks.
It's not raining hard. It's not even raining hard, Robbie.
It's not even raining hard.
I know you're soft because you're from, you know, Detroit, but...
Yeah, that's
what do you mean? What are we talking about? Soft from Detroit? Detroit is... Okay, whatever. But, like, are we talking about you would rather be in the humid...
I'd rather be walking home in a drizzle than walking here in
this
the
is not a drizzle.
Swamp humidity that I walked in. No, honestly, there are times in life where you just, in the rain, in the city, and maybe this is because I walk all over the city, like everybody that lives in the city of Chicago.
Feel the rain on my skin.
Yeah, there you go.
I was about to say, are you Natasha Bedingfield?
I heard that song the other day. Sometimes you just got to let go and let the rain fall on you. There's just something freeing about it. Like, you're gonna get wet, give up, because guess what, I'm a 154 lifetime hitter, having an umbrella when I need the umbrella. So every once
you're
in a while
Bruhan with umbrellas.
So I've had many times walking the city where I'm like, I'm not gonna just jump into CVS or Walgreens, I'm gonna walk it out for the rest of this trip. So that's what I've done.
I caught your walk it out reference.
I know you did.
You know who else walked it out? The entire Bears team, under the threat of rain this morning in pads for the first time.
They did not get rained out.
They did not get rained out. They just kept it going. In fact, they didn't call out the fans. The fans got to show up and do their thing today. Drew Dahlman, one of those players out, kind of feeling his way through this first training camp, not only under Ben Johnson, but his first training camp as a Bear after signing the big free agent contract, the former Atlanta Falcon, was asked today after practice about his relationship with one Caleb Williams. Listen to this question and answer.
How's the chemistry going with you and Caleb?
It's been good. Yeah. Caleb's awesome. Great to work with him. Great to work with the other O-line guys. And it's one of those things where, you know, every day something gets better and then you always have new things to patch up and fix and work on. And it's been a pleasure to, like, work on those things like, oh, I need to do this, he needs to do this, and kind of work together on those.
Obviously, building a rapport with the quarterback, there's always a bit of a process there. But is anything different when Caleb is – you know, not as, I guess, familiar with the under center stuff as he is with the shotgun stuff. Is there anything different, like, building that rapport with a guy who is also learning the under center at the same time?
I mean, honestly, I haven't really noticed. He does a great job with it. We've had, like, plenty of learning moments where we're kind of getting a feel for each other. Every quarterback and center exchange is, like, a little different. But, yeah, it's been great, and he's done a great job.
So, positive words for Drew Dahlman about Caleb Williams, their chemistry so far. But Mark, I know there's been some issues maybe with the snaps, right?
A couple of times, yeah. I mean, there have been, not to the point where you look at it and say, like I haven't seen consecutive issues. I haven't seen it within the same series. That's where I start to get worried. And I honestly I have no idea how this relationship will work and how good Drew Dolman and Caleb Williams will be together. I think they probably will be pretty good together because I think that's a pretty good product in Dolman. But the number one thing, man, it's just so nice watching practices, knowing that that position is solidified for the first time in a long time, that we're not starting this camp with a competition between Coleman Shelton and Ryan Bates, that we're not starting a camp with Lucas Patrick given well, it was a small contract, but decent money, and then completely failing. We're not walking into a camp where we're hearing about undrafted centers, like, God bless them, Sam Mustipher as your center. So that's where I still am. I am so happy every time I see Drew Dolman. We'll give it a little more time before we know that this is going to work between these two. I'm pretty sure that it will, but right now I am just happy to be here. I'm not going to lie to you.
Does feel like a reversal of course for the general manager, Ryan Poles, and his new partnership with Ben Johnson, that they're not necessarily trying to do the most with the least. They're getting kind of a minimum standard a little bit higher in terms of what you expect to have at each position going on offense and defense, and this is a good thing. I was interested to hear Drew Dahlman's thoughts on the Bears' running game, which is still very much a work in progress.
I mean, there's a lot to the run game, you know. There's a lot of cohesion, there's a lot of communication, all those things, as well as the physical piece, which was on more display today. But we've been working on all facets of it since April 7th or whenever our first day was. So this feels like a step in a long process that we've already undergone or we've been undertaking.
So for Drew Dolman, this is why I'm interested in that. I want to hear his description of it because I want to see the work in progress work itself out over time, not just running back room, who's got what's role, but also up front, are you guys in cohesion and how long that might take? And now that the pads are on, we're going to find out quickly over the next couple of weeks what's what and what's not good enough.
Well, it's amazing because the answers about whenever we ask about the running backs room, whether to Ben Johnson or what we just heard right there from Drew Dolman, it's a big, right now, to paraphrase, it's a big, I don't know. And today should have been the first day that we could ask real questions and not get excuses for non-answers.
But it's the first day.
But there's still non-answers. You know why? Because it's a running backs room that we don't know about. Because two of the three running backs in that room had disappointing years last year. DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson had disappointing years last year. So we don't know if they're going to turn it around. And nor does Ben Johnson or any of these offensive staff or coaches on this staff. And, you know, is Mununga, is he anything? He's the greatest mystery in there. Like, is he actually an NFL running back? We just don't know. So right now, I think that the answers about the running backs have been spot on. Who knows?
All right, so Drew Dolman, he's got his own issues to kind of sort out as a center on an offensive line in which there will be at least three new members, if not four, when you look at Braxton Jones from last year. Karen Amagaji had a snippet last year as well, but it could be very well be Ozzie Trapillo.
Zapillo.
Or Zapillo, depending on who you are. Depending on who you are.
I made you think you got it wrong.
I was like, no, it is Trapillo.
I'm sorry.
It is Trapillo.
I'm doing the Emma.
You're going to get me saying Zapillo.
You were spot on, my friend. It's Emma whose balls are being busted at the moment.
So we will maybe take a listen to more of what Drew Dolman talks about when he talks about installing these new offensive installs, but it's all part of a process which is affecting Caleb Williams. And I want to go back to something that was written by Albert Breer over the weekend talking about Caleb Williams' struggles and examine them and help you at home understand why I'm not panicked, because it's not time to be panicked about the starting quarterback learning a new system. We're not there yet. We'll discuss that and more when Raheemian Harris with Mark Grody in for Layla returns here on 670 The Score.
Life offers us choices. When shopping for a luxury SUV, you should have the same benefit. The 2025 Lincoln Corsair SUV offers a traditional gas powertrain and the plug-in hybrid Grand Touring model. The spirit of choice continues with several available features to leave you reinvigorated, including perfect position massaging front seats, the jet appearance package, panoramic vista roof, and more. With an impressive list of both standard and available features, the right choice becomes clear. Discover it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer. Lincoln, the power of sanctuary.
Schneider Electric presents Keeping the Lights On, a Graybar podcast. Schneider Electric is leading the digital transformation of energy management and automation in homes, buildings, data centers, infrastructure, and industries. Listen to my conversation with Anise Kavanaugh, author and consultant, as we discuss how you and your team can intentionally bring positive energy back into your workplace. Tune in on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.